now the star of our show, Charlie T. Reddy. And he's ready, by God. You better believe it. Let's see here. We have a note here before we get underway here. Shepard, shut up. Oh, all right. I may just do that. That's what the note says. Sorry. It's from a VP here. I may just do that for the next 45 minutes. Like the other day, I think this is a fantastic development, this whole gasoline shortage. You know, they keep calling it the energy crunch. That's today's cliche, the energy crunch. Yes, have you noticed that many of our words today are coming from the pro football ranks? You know, a few years ago, it used to be the musicians' ranks. Oh, yeah, the lexicon of the musicians provided a great deal of our slang. You know, like hip, that's a musician's word. Swing, musician's word, all these things. Now it's pro football. The president is eternally trotting out a game plan. Like many game plans, friends, I've been involved in a few football games myself where, you know, for 7 weeks they figure out this complex game plan that takes in account all exigencies possible, all emergencies that can conceivably happen, but it mistakes one thing. I mean, it misses one point, and that is that the other team is better. Now, your game plan, your game plan goes right out the window when you're faced with a 375-pound tackle who's 6 feet 10 and runs the 100 in the maybe 3.7. You forget your game plan, because the game plan has a little cross where you take him out, you know, a little X there where you block him out. And what there should be is a little ink blot where he runs right over you, steps on your neck, and goes charging down the field. Well, so, you know, forget this game plan stuff. And the word crunch, you've been wondering where that irritating new word has come from. The word crunch is a word that is a professional football term. It refers to line play. I says, he's right down there in the crunch. This is what they used to say. The crunch means one lineman hitting another lineman, and the term refers to the crunch they make when they hit. So, believe me, wait till it starts adding, professional football starts adding other phrases to our game plan of life, you know, other little lines like strategic fumble. Yes, we've seen several of those in Washington, haven't we? Strategic fumble. Here's another one. Here's another one. A deceptive wingback ploy. That's Mr. Ehrlichman's particular talent. He's always running back there. You know. How about man in motion? That's the guy that's hurriedly heading for the Bahamas on an unmarked yacht. That's the man in motion. He's you'll never catch that guy either. He's going to be sitting down there in them swamps for years. But so I say that I don't know how we got on this. This is we have a dignified group here tonight with us, especially our sponsors, very dignified sponsors. And so let's lead off with an extremely dignified sponsor tonight. If you're planning to go abroad for your vacation this year, your first stop should be to your nearest newsstand. I'd like to point out your next stop should be at the bank. Nevertheless, the first stop, you should pick up your copy of Sunday's New York Times, because Sunday's New York Times features a 44-page section devoted entirely to travel abroad. I imagine a lot of people are skipping the country this summer is what's happening. And the Times is right there with a lot of hints and kinks on all kinds of places to hide, and you know, with the unmarked bank accounts and all that kind of stuff, you can hide them tax-free and all that jazz. But anyway, you'll find it all fantastically interesting and very helpful. Articles on some of the world's most fascinating places. Yes. Visit Lexington. From the fjords, the fjords of Norway to the road to Mandalay. Oh, I always liked that, too, you know. My old man used to call that classical music. Turn on the radio and you'd hear some guy sing, on the road to Mandalay. Give me a little echo chamber there, just a wee bit. Sure you can. Hello. Hello? Nope, our echo chamber isn't working tonight. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play. Just too much. Just a slight delay. slight, slight, hello, 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 little less, little less, little less. I want to get the sound. I want to get the sound of a tile, John. Just a little less. Wait, just a slight echo chamber. Wait, back at that. Even more. Come on, way down. Hello, hello, even more.
There, now we're getting there. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder, out of China across the bay.
That's real good. That's enough of the echo chamber. What do you mean? I hit that clinker purposely. That was a sardonic clinker. But nevertheless, the regular Sunday Times travel section features news and advertisements about vacations in the U.S. and the Caribbean. So pick up the Sunday Times. Got a lot of stuff on travel. If you want to split the country here this spring, get the hell out before it falls in on all of us. On the road, Mandalay, where the flying... Oh, yes, yes, I wanted to bring up a little more, if I may, about the gas crisis. We're all involved in this. This is a weekend. They say it's going to be fantastic this weekend. I predict, among other things, you know, this new system they've got in, the system of odds and evens, this is going to divide the population even more. I mean, already our country is divided enough. And there's going to be, at first, there's going to be confusion. People who have odd number license plates will treat people with even number license plates just like they always have. But it's going to madden them on the days when they see all those fat cat even numbered guys getting gas poured into the back of their car and they're not allowed in, right? So the gorge begins to rise. This is, by the way, this is where all prejudice rises in man. Envy. Envy, envy, resentment. And then finally, it turns into action. I will see the day when candidates will campaign and run exclusively for even-numbered people who feel that the odd-numbered guys are getting a better break because they got two more days last year due to the fact that it was leap year. And you wait and see. And then, of course, eventually there will be little action groups. They're always the radicals that can get into the situation. And there will be little groups called Odd Action Immediate Liberation Army. Okay? The word army is very important these days in any little group that you form. It used to be ad hoc committee. Now you form an army. Even if it's only three guys named Ed. You form an army and you appoint field marshals, generals, you know, all the various ranks are very important. No, have you ever noticed that none of these armies have corporals, PFCs? There was a field marshal. You know, the field marshal is a very rare rank. Field marshal general, that's even rarer. Field marshal general. The last guy that held the rank of field marshal general was Alexander the Great. And he owned the country. He didn't just run it. He owned the country. You know, Alexander the Great, back in those days, a guy could own the country. And he did. Field Marshal General. Just call me FMG. But, you know, that's the way you write that rank if it ever comes up in the crossword puzzles. FMG, military rank. used only in the ancient Saracen army. But it was a very exciting rank because it also involves having a lot of guys carry you around on a sedan chair. That's a good rank. By the way, speaking of fantastic ranks, the other night I was watching late late television. The only reason I watch late late television because I love to watch old movies. You know, you really see stuff that they wouldn't even do in today's movies. Nobody would ever think, for example, today to make a movie about building a pyramid. Did you see that? Building a pyramid. It was fantastic. It was called In the Land of the Pharaohs. You should have seen it. It was really well done. It was Howard Hawks. It was not a cockamamie production. You know, we all accept Howard Hawks as official director, right? Okay, he's official. They have you only go to see movies where they have little retrospective shows of his stuff down on 8th Street. This was Howard Hawks, so I felt justified in watching it. And more than that, it was English. It had a lot of English people in it, so that's okay. Any movie that's got English people in, watch it, even if it's bad. By the way, speaking of one of the great English movies, if you ever get a chance to see it usually comes out about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's got some of the most obscene lines. I mean, really, man, they lay it out. I don't know who it is. Maybe the guy that edited that one does not know the English euphemisms for various obscenities. He's used to American obscenities, see, but the English have their own little inner types. And this is a fantastic movie called Carry On Cleo. You ever see the Carry On movies? Well, all right, the next time you see Carry On Cleo, watch it in color. Oh, wow. That's an X-rated late movie. A lot of zingy stuff in that one, especially when Cleopatra there is taking her bath. Catch some of those great lines that come winging around out of, especially Anthony. He's obscene in this one, Anthony. And he's just terrible. But, yeah, you know, he knew what he was after. Yes, sir. Once he was like the Anthony in that. Let's face it, you know the story of Anthony Cleopatra, don't you? Of course. The whole thing, how he was sent out to Egypt, he was working for Caesar there, the whole scene. Well, the way he is played in this, he's played like a guy who is he's a man who's sent out by the company, and he's a traveling salesman. And he's having one hell of a time on the expense account. And he arrives in Egypt, and he sees this unbelievable bimbo there, you know? And he proceeds to, I don't have to pursue it any further. I mean, what the heck, you know? And, of course, the battle scenes are great. Give me that big piece of music there, the big one, the biggie, see? When the battle scenes occur, see, Anthony has got his legions. By the way, that's another great crowd. Wait till the next phase, when they stop calling their little cockamamie groups armies, they're going to start calling them legions. That has a lot more swing to it. If you're going to have a mob, I mean, a real ravening mob, you might as well give it a little style, which reminds me, speaking of ravening mobs, this is WOR. Hi, George, the voice of Alexander the Great. This is WOR in New York. And before you play that one over there, play the little thing in there that's marked with the green dollar sign. Just hit any of them, any one of them. They all play just as well. There you go. Fine. This is Alexander the Great.
Your AMC dealers got the all-new midsize car that economizes on everything but comfort. That car, the roomy 74 Matador. And another important advantage, our 74 Matador comes with an economical six-cylinder engine as standard equipment. And consider this, Matador is the only new midsize car backed by all the benefits of the exclusive AMC Buyer Protection Plan. Which means that under normal usage and accepting tires, if anything AMC did goes wrong with your new 74 Matador in the first 12 months or 12,000 miles, we'll fix or replace it free. Come in today. Meet the unbeatable combination. 74 Matador, backed by the AMC Buyer Protection Plan.
See your AMC dealer where you get a good deal more. Talk over this man. This is important. There's powerful human drama plus thrilling combat action in store for you Sunday night at 5 on Channel 9. Rock Hudson stars in the dramatic true story of the pastor who traded his pulpit for a pair of wings in the skies of war-torn Korea. The Big Preview presents Battle Hymn, a real-life account of a courageous clergyman turned fighter pilot who found the new flock and a new mission right there in the midst of his crosshair sights. That's 5 o'clock, Channel 9, Sunday night. Wow, holy smokes, that's very exciting. Rock Hudson. He has that pious look in the eye, yes, indeed. Let's get on here with the next one here. It says, yes, you have spelled it very well today. It says, just Hollywood, you stuck out your case. You should have seen what he did last week. Hollywood Broad. Most everyone knows that if you want to cut down on weight, you have to cut down on your calories. You know, it's just a matter of Newtonian physics. Let's face it. It's just like your car. If you want to cut down on driving, just don't put much gas in your car. And it won't go. It'll get lean and hard. And that's just the way, either that or rusty. But that's just what happens with you. If you want to cut down on the suet, you have to cut down on calories, right? Well, you don't necessarily have to cut down on bread, because a medium-sized grapefruit has more calories than an average slice of bread. So does orange and apple and many other fruits. And the bakers of Hollywood Bread now are offering Eleanor Hansberry's Calorie and Carbohydrate Guide free. It's a very exciting book. Really, it is. Fantastic woodcut illustrations of the late 19th century. You know, in the Saronian baths of London and Rome. Wherever Hollywood Bread is sold, you'll find this free. And now, here is, what have we got there? Woman's Day? Oh, why don't we save these for a while? I mean, we're just laying them out here too much. We're just, you know, I like this. Dad, you just said, you know, speaking of, may I pursue the gas thing for a moment there, or is the gas crunch boring you? Well, it isn't boring if you're looking for gas at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the in fact, the needle is now stopped bouncing on the E. It's laying there solid, and it's creeping below the E, and your car's go. Well, it's not so boring at that point. It may be damned irritating, but it ain't boring. And I can see the odd and even action groups formed, and you know, all kinds of little things. Did you hear about what happened in Boston the other day? Well, there's just a little warning here. I was up in Boston a couple of days ago, and I get in the cab with this guy. Say, at the the Boston cab drivers are not quite like New York cab drivers. They tend to be a little more introspective, and more than that, they also tend to be a little less, how shall I say, bombastic, and they have more of a sense of humor. I mean, living in Boston, you really have to. And so this guy's sitting in the cab there, and I get in the back of it, seeing it's at the airport, and we start heading on out towards where I'm going. And I notice he's very quiet. He says nothing. See, he's looking kind of introspective, and he's looking a little bug, but at the same time vaguely amused. And I could not help but say, you know, I have to open up a conversation with this guy, because he I could see he was thinking about something. I said, you know, I'm famed for my brilliant conversational opening ploys. So I whipped one out, laid on this guy. I said, hey, it's kind of a nice day, ain't it? That right away, by the way, that is a better ploy than you think, because they have nothing but rotten weather in Boston for 100 years running. So if somebody comes and says it's a nice day, that's like, opening your mouth and hollering, I'm glad to know. I'm glad to find out the earth is flat. You know, they just proved that again. That'll start a little talk, right? So the guy says, what was that? He's a little surprised. He says, nice day, right, Trevor? You see, I see his name on the cabbie license there. That always gets him when you take their name off. See, his name is Trevor McTavish, which you would not see in a cab in New York, right? So I says, nice day, right, Trevor? Oh, not bad. I suppose if you don't know Boston weather, this probably seems like a pretty good day. And we rode a little bit in silence, and he chuckles to himself, you know, chuck, chuck, chuckle. And I said, well, look, a lot of people laugh at this bow tie I've got, but it was a gift, you know? This is the way they're making them in New York these days, with little light bulbs in the end. And you keep the switch in your pocket. I'm trying to save the battery, you know, energy crunch. But when I get to the party, I'm going to put the switch on. It's going to light up, you know, red, white, and blue. And he looks at in the mirror there. He says, I wasn't laughing at your tie. He says, no. I get all kinds of people, you know, in the car here. I don't laugh at anybody's tie. You ought to see some of the people I get. Of course, the implication was very clear there that I was well up in the running, though, for the Dingbat Award of the Month in his cab, but, you know, with the red, white, and blue tie and all that stuff. And so I continued to lead him on. He said, yeah, I suppose you see all kinds. Yeah, you see all kinds, right? Trevor, right? And he says, yeah. And this time he's looking very suspiciously in the mirror, because he figures now he has got all kinds back there. And any minute now, who knows what I'm going to try, see? So I notice he pulls the glass back and a clunk. He says, that's all right. You don't have to close the glass. I'll pay. It's okay. And then we drive a little bit further on. And I'm hollering through the change thing at him now. You know, you know the little change scoop there? You can holler through that. See, I says, do you mind if I talk through the change thing here at you? And so he says, no, it's okay. So I said, how's the gas shortage up here? That's always good. That has supplanted sex. You understand that in every comics bit now, all the Borscht Circuit comics have switched from sex. Of course, sex went out a few years back. Sex went out with Uncle Milty. For a long while, you could not do a bit in any comedy show at all without the president bits. The president bits went on and on, you know. Whoever was in, didn't make any difference. That went back to Eisenhower. See, the president bit, there's a big thing. That's called the Mort Saul eczema syndrome. And you couldn't do a bit without the president coming in, see. And then for a long while, the president went pretty good for a while. And then you had to do Vietnamese things. That went pretty good for a bit. And then finally, of course, the bonanza hit the comedy world again. Watergate opened the sluice gates. A lot of guys weren't working up to that day, you know. Now they're all called back. Old comics are being dusted off, you know, and they're bringing them out again. and of course, that's already beginning to wear thin. Because, you know, 2.5 years of Watergate jokes, people, they've heard about that. And now what's replacing that? Another great new bonanza, and that is the energy crunch. Very few comics can walk out on the stage without saying something like, and he comes out squinting, see, oh, my God, you know. And for a minute he says, where am I? And he says, oh, I see what's confused me. Oh, electric lights. I haven't seen light in 3 weeks, you know. In my place, they don't even allow me to light the candle. Energy crunch, you know. Hey, you know, so that's, you know, that kind of stuff. Very feeble humor. But anyway, it suffices when you're sitting there with a half a tank of scotch in your gut and, you know, you've been eating peanuts all night, and you're with this unbelievable chick that you have plans for. Anything sounds pretty funny, you know. Oh, that great Mabel. Oh, I got your candle. You. Well, that's the new bit, the gas shortage. So I am entering the fray here with my little gas shortage stories. This actually happened, though, as all comics always do. And this really did happen to me the other day. See, this guy come down the street, and there was an apple sticking out of his ear, you know. So, nevertheless... I'm rotten. I'm pure rotten. Thank you, David Fry. So are you, Steinberg. So, nevertheless, I'm sitting in the back seat, and the guy says to me, he says, hey, he said, boy, he says, I'll tell you. Trevor's finally going to talk to me. So he says, I'll tell you. He says, you know, he said, boy, you got to hand it to some guys. You really got to hand it to some guys. And I said, yeah, that's true, Trevor. He said, yep. Sure got to hand it to some guys. Of course, he didn't talk like that. He had a little slight talk of the New England quality, you know, like John F. Kennedy. A little talk like Cuba. He was going to talk about liberating Cuba any minute now. And he's going up to Bahaba. And so I said, well, what happened, Trevor? What do you mean? Because he was obviously leading me on when, you know, he says, boy, you got to hand it to some guys. I said, what? He says, let me tell you this. He says, you know what happened to me yesterday? I said, no, I don't, Trevor. He says, well, boy, he said, I'm telling you, it was fantastic. I said, well, what happened? He says, well, he says, I got this Studebaker, see? He says, now, that's my personal car. He says, I don't have any trouble getting gas for the cab. He said, you know, all I do is drive in the garage, and they just fill it up, and I go on again. He says, but they won't let me bring my Studebaker in there. I says, well, what did you do with your Studebaker? He says, well, you know, the gas shortage is really something fantastic up here in New England, which it is. And he says, see, and he says, I live out there in Dedham. I says, you do? That's a suburb of Boston. And he said, we got the gas stations all along the main street there. So he says, so the other day, he says, yesterday I go up to get gas. He says, they said there was going to be gas today. So I go out there, he says, a fantastic line. And he says, it's this station, so he says, Texaco station, so he says, I'm just using it. It could be any kind, just a station. Say, and he says, Texaco station. And I says, yeah? He says, oh, you should have seen the line. He says, the line went down the block and then turned left and went down the next block and then turned again and went down about 5 blocks. He says, it must have been two miles. And he says, so I drove around. He says, every gas station had the same kind of line, went, you know, for blocks. And he says, so finally I decided to go to the Texaco station. They had a great big sign. It says $3 limit. No more. Don't ask for any more. $3 limit, period. Big sign. He says, so I drove all the way around the block, and he says, up the alley and down the next block. He says, made the turn, went under the underpass and around the next block and through the junkyard. And he says, and I finally got to the end of the line. And he says, I'm sitting there at the end of the line. It's raining where I am. He said, way up in the front there. It wasn't raining yet. And he says, so I'm sitting in the back there. And he says, yeah, by the way, I think, may I interject here at this moment, that I believe that the gas crunch, as you prefer to call it, is going to change people's lives in more ways than they suspect. Now, first of all, you're not going to drive as much. But that's not going to keep people from sitting in their cars. That the car really is a surrogate home to many a guy. He does not think in terms of actually driving often. And so sitting in the gas line, maybe 1, 2, 3 hours, is good. This is a very unexpected thing for an American. Most Americans are not used to naval contemplation, introspection. And when you're sitting in your car, it is very difficult to turn on Channel 5, which is, you know, the narcotic of the slot. You know, they used to say the religion is the opiate of the people. Let's face it, friends. No way now. Mm-mm. William Morris is now the opiate of the people. who's William Morris? Well, he's with you night and day, friends. If he ain't with you, MCA is with you. And if they ain't with you, Ashley Famous Artist is with you. That who sends you, you know, they send you all this stuff day after day, hour after hour, you know, all the car crash movies. By the way, it's going to change a lot of television, too. Because the public is not going to stand for the fact that, you know, for weeks they haven't even been able to get their car to the garage. Seeing guys on Hollywood or Hawaii 5-0 running around all the time in cars and crashing them, and driving up like up and down these highways at 100 miles an hour, they ain't going to take that. No way, you know. How come Cannon gets all that gas? I can't. So Cannon is going to have to take up the 10-speed Raleigh bicycle in pursuit of the smugglers. He will. Ultimately. But not might not be bad either for him. He could use a little of that suet, you know. Can't you just see him? the first TV 90-minute cop crime special that is done entirely on foot. The TV viewer is not going to know what to do because no crime show ever shows a foot patrolman. Have you noticed that? You never see a guy walking around on a beat. They're always in this squad car, almost invariably a white and black one with a shield on the side that says LAPD. Apparently all cop shows come out of Los Angeles, those that don't come out of San Francisco. And incidentally, this is going to kill all San Francisco shows. No way. Because the scene that is necessary in all San Francisco cop shows, in fact, all San Francisco shows, is the scene where the car comes roaring up the hill. And then they switch the camera angle to the other side of the hill, and you see this car go, whoa! And he flies right off the ground, you know? You know those hills? And he bounces and skids, and he goes around the cable car. This is always in every... Carl Malden's going to be out of work. It's going to be tough, man. Yeah. You agree there's going to be a lot of walking cop shows? The chase sequence is going to change. You know the chase sequence, Steve McQueen sequence, where he's always riding through department stores in this Dodge, and he's going up the side of buildings, and they do incredible stuff with cars and movies, off a 500-foot cliff, nose down into the bay, you know, all that stuff. That's got to go, and we're going to go back to the old Buster Keaton foot sequence. There's going to be a lot of studying of Buster Keaton. You ever see his famous sequences where Buster Keaton is being pursued by 12,000 cops? That's far more exciting than any chase sequence, you know, where they crash cars. Oh, yeah. You've seen him do that. Scene where he goes running around the corner, see, and by amazing coincidence, there are two guys carrying a gigantic case full of fresh apple pies. And he goes, whoop! He goes right under him, see? And the apple pies go up in the air, and they're suspended in the air, and just as they start coming down, 14 police come running around the corner, and they all get it right in the face. That's better, you know? You've seen those sequences. Yeah, well, Buster Keaton could run right up a brick wall, too. And he did. He really did, without using a stuntman. He'd go right up a brick wall, like a 20-foot wall. It was fantastic, like he had suction cups on his feet. He'd go right up. Run along the top of the wall and go down the other side. Then, of course, there was a big crowd of cops coming down the alley towards him on that side, right? Then what did he do? What would he do then? That's right, that's right. We don't want to embarrass the people out there who think that Steve McQueen invented the chase. However, nevertheless, this is going to change a lot of stuff. So it's going to change crime, too. There will be major crime shows now about gas siphoning, where a mob is lynching this guy suspected of siphoning gas. See, of course, he'll have to be a minority member. He will be unfairly judged to have siphoned gas because he sat down one day, you know, after the gas siphon thief had hit the neighborhood, and he went into this place, and somebody says, "I smelled Gulftain on his breath." And it's a whole new kind of crime is going to develop. And, you know, there'll be hijacking shows about hijacking 3,000 gallons of gasoline in a tanker truck. That's going to be the whole new thing. Gas will become a major crime. Used to be the Star of India. You know, the guys. Widow Peter Ustinov is seen scaling up the side of a brick wall, and he's got a giant pipe, and he's going to insert it into one of these 20 million gallon storage tanks over in the Jersey Meadows. They're trying to siphon the big haul, but they have an elephant on the other side to do the sucking. You like my bit? All right, sure. Well, what the hell? If David Steinberg can fool the public, so can I. But nevertheless, I can see the scene. See, it's got to come. Just got to come. When the gas shortage has really gotten to be part of our life, you know, and foot patrols, and the major crime now involves gas shortages and guys stealing gas. There's got to be the development then of a new type of a whole new type of series. For example, instead of medical shows, you're going to be the newest hero. It could very well be a garage mechanic who dispenses with great kindness gasoline to people who come to him. And, you know, each week there's a little vignette. You know, it's the Marcus Welby of Gas Man. He's the kindly Texaco man, see. And of course, you realize that under rationing, gas will be given out only according to need. That's important. So you cannot come down to the gas station and say, "Hey, me and Aki wanted to go out riding around looking for girls and drinking beer. And, you know, we ain't done that for a couple of weeks. And me and Aki want to ride up and down Route 46 hollering at girls and throwing beer cans out in the playing field. And what we want to do is go down to McDonald's, eat some hamburgers, and, you know, spin out and throw a lot of gravel up against the side of the building and drive around and go 100 miles an hour." No, they're not going to give you gas. And that's what you really wanted for. So they're not going to give you gas for that. You have to have a touching scene of a young widow played by Suzanne Pleshette. And her daughter is dying of an obscure disease. And she needs 10 gallons of gas to save her life. If she can get to Palo Alto, where the surgeon is, who can save her life, we will then, of course, the hero will be the man that gives the gas, not the surgeon. There's 50,000 surgeons, but only one Texaco man with 10 gallons of gas. So, you know, and there'll be this little case, see, where he goes out to their home and visits them. And he makes house calls to check on their hard luck story. See, she has made application a day in advance that she must get the gas. And so you got to think of a good name for him. He's got to have a name like Marcus Welby, see. He's got, you know, Ignatius Peabody. Ignatius Peabody, Ph.D., T.E.X., S-H-E-L-L. He goes out to see them, and he brings in his little lie detector kit and all that to find out whether, in fact, she is dying of this rare, obscure disease. And they fall in love. You know, you can see the whole thing, can't you? And at the end, we see her car going on the Santa Monica Freeway. It's obviously got gas in it. And the little girl is already beginning to show color in her cheeks. She's sitting in the back there, saved by Texaco High Test. And yes, it's got to come. Now, it really will. You think I'm kidding? Well, here's an example now. Real crime is beginning to do that. And before we tell you today's crime adventure as played out by Trevor the cab driver in Boston, Thought I forgot it, didn't you, gang? We have a couple little goodies.
There are many things people don't know about the Kennedy family, and Rose Kennedy reveals a lot in her new book, Times to Remember. She writes for the first time about her retarded daughter and about Jack and Jackie's romance. You can read it all in the March issue of Woman's Day magazine, because only Woman's Day is serializing this extraordinary book. In addition, the March Woman's Day helps beat inflation with hundreds of money-saving ideas. Look for the yellow cover with the luscious chocolate cream dessert.
I live in Lido Beach. I play basketball at the Nassau Coliseum, and I read Newsday. I guess that makes me a real Long Islander.
He's Brian Taylor, star guard of the New York Nets.
I may be prejudiced, but I think the Nets are now one of the best teams in all of pro basketball. So come on out to the Nassau Coliseum and root us to the ABA championship. If you want to really keep up with the Nets, do it the way I do. Read the sport pages of Newsday every day. Newsday does an outstanding job of covering the Nets and the Knicks and all the teams in this area, professional, college, and high school. Not just results and game stories, but great features and behind-the-scenes articles. I see a lot of newspapers in my travels around the country, but I'll tell you this for sure. As a Long Islander, I just wouldn't be without Newsday.
See for yourself why Brian Taylor of the Nets and so many others rely on Newsday. Long Island's own newspaper.
Hey, that's a little, that's an amazing candor there. That here he plays on the Nets and he keeps up with the Nets by reading the newspaper. Have you ever had the feeling that a lot of the guys that you see on many teams are the only way they know about it? Oh, well, that's rotten. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Well, nevertheless, you want to hear what Trevor said? Okay. So if you think that Shepard is inventing the new type of crime, of course there's millions of stories, but this guy actually was a victim of it. He wasn't telling about a thing he heard that his friend Chester told him down at the coffee shop. This is a real thing. And he was kind of bugged. So he said, yeah, boy, you gotta really hand it to some guys. I said, yeah, you do have to hand it to some guys. He said, yeah, man, you gotta hand it to him. You know, it's said with the rueful tone of a guy who admires secretly the guy that ripped him off because it was done so great. Anyway, he says he got down to the end of the line. See, he was way the hell out. The line was about 2.5 miles long. He said it seemed like that anyway. And it was moving like a snail that was having a bad time with its arthritis. See, it's just barely. And by the way, I still think that's going to make a big difference in America. People sitting all by themselves with no television, with nothing going on for an hour and a half a day. This is an unexpected, unforeseen development in American life, because Americans just don't know what to do when they're alone. Very few Americans can stand more than 3 minutes without, one, opening a can of beer, two, turning on a television set, three, making a phone call, four, getting into an argument with seven other guys, five, going bowling. In other words, we're the ultimate gregarious tribal people. We simply did not invent Zen contemplation. It's a very alien thing to most people. And yet it will cause the sudden outbreak of Zen attitudes unbeknownst to a guy. You know, a guy that's, for the first time in his 40 years of life, finds himself sitting quietly, the motor off even, remember, for 2 hours in the same spot, is liable to start thinking. He's liable to confront his own soul. And the next thing you know, we're going to see the outgrowth of all kinds of strange contemplative religions. You may even see the outbreak of reading. I mean, that's going to be tough. I mean, and I mean even more than reading TV Guide. You know, you can just read that TV Guide over and over again so many times, and you've practically memorized the article Inside the Real, Suzanne Plachette. That ain't going to hold you long. God knows where it's going to go. And crime is changing. Like this guy, Trevor, he says, I'm standing at the end of the line, see? $3 minimum, remember that. When he says, all of a sudden, there's a tapping on my window. Excuse me, sir. I look up, here's a guy dressed in this natty Texaco uniform with the star. And he said, excuse me, sir, to save times, we've instituted a system down at the station. And rather than everybody making change and paying and all that stuff as he comes up to the pump, we like to pre-collect, and I'll give you a check, which you present to the guy at the pump. to show that you've paid. And he had one of these coin changers and everything on him. So the guy says, how much gas can I get? He says, well, it's a $3 maximum. Sorry, sir. And so the guy gives him a 10. He gives him $7 and change. And he gives him a little check. He takes a little ticket stub. See, it's one of these little ticket things like you get when you go in a movie. Gives him this thing, tears it in half, and he very carefully files the other half in his pocket, and he goes to the next guy. He says, he went right up the line. Do I have to tell you what happened? Bum, ba-dum, bump. He says, there must have been 250 guys paid out. Can you imagine the scene when the first guy who paid showed up at the pump? He said, I already paid. Here's my check. Because what do you mean you already paid? Wait a minute, hold that pump, Ike. Ike, hold it, pull it out of it. He said, what do you mean you paid? He said, well, here, I already paid. Here's my check. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, Mac. I can only give you $3 worth of gas. You already got $1.16 worth in there already. He said, what are you talking about? I paid. The guy behind me paid. And the next thing I know, they realize. Well, that's what happened. And my friend Trevor, he says, listen, he says, I want to tell you what happened then. He says, all of a town broke out. He says, this guy must have been going around driving from gas station to gas station with all different jackets and hats. He had a Shell hat. He had a Gulf Tain hat. He had a hat for Union, the Getty hat. So, Adam 12 is going to have his hands full catching that guy. I'm kidding. That actually did happen, friends. This is not a fabricated story. Well, you'll get used to contemplating your navel, friends. I mean, once you've cleared out all that lint and you begin to see what it really looks like, who knows? You may take to... Who knows what you may take to doing? I mean, the mind is slowly starting to move again. You know, when William Conrad, who plays Cannon, is down to 160 pounds, lean and hard, after running up and down all those canyons in Hollywood, after all those crooks, we're going to have a cleaner, brighter America with a spring in a step. I speak with the smugness of a man who owns a bike. This is WOR New York. You stay tuned for John Wingate.